Daryl Mosel, and I'm from Gaylord, Minnesota. And my farm is a diversified crop and livestock farm. We have some dairy. We have about a 60-cow dairy and about 800 acres of corn, soybeans, alfalfa, and small grain. And with my with the farmer with the Land Stewardship Project, I am currently serving on the board as one of the board of director positions, and I'm also on a couple of their committees, the Federal Policy Committee, which is the committee working on the crop insurance issue.
Well, Daryl, let's land there for a little bit here and talk about crop insurance. I know that the Land Stewardship Project recently held a news conference to discuss crop insurance, and as lawmakers continue working on the 2018 Farm Bill, what would LSP like to see the next crop insurance component of the Farm Bill look like?
Yeah, we have a couple of things, I guess, that we would like to see changed. First of all, the conservation measures, have them more tied to crop insurance. Putting some incentive, it would put an incentive in the system to help farmers, make choices that lead more toward conservation farming, especially as it relates to water quality. And then I think also, given the severity of the federal budget in terms of the deficit of the federal budget and the fact that there's probably cuts that are being suggested to the farm programs, I guess we think a better use of the crop insurance money would be to, focus it more on the farmers, on the larger number of farmers, as opposed to, say someone like myself, if I was making, $100 million a year, that I would still be able to get crop insurance. That probably isn't a wise use of our tax dollars. So I think the Land Stewardship Project, as well as other farm organizations, are hoping that we can have some limits on the subsidies.
Now, obviously, there's been some resistance to those limits, like a cap on crop insurance. So when you talk to the opposing viewpoints, what points do you really try to make?
Yeah. Well, I know we've heard the argument that if you put limits on, then someone who is an extremely large operator would probably choose not to, choose not to use crop insurance if they weren't getting that $12 per acre subsidy. And I guess I just don't think that's, I question whether that'll ever happen. I think if anything, larger operators probably need crop insurance worse than so-called traditional farmers, the average size farmer. So I don't really agree with that argument. I'd have to see a whole lot more evidence that that's going to happen. And furthermore, I'm not really sure that that's really a very good argument on their part, because limits that are being proposed are so high that they really don't hardly even affect more than, a few percentage points of farmers. So I guess I don't really agree with that.
You talked about tying conservation to crop insurance as an incentive. So in what specific ways would that be addressed? What would the language look like?
Currently, like especially in the state of Minnesota, we're doing a lot in terms of putting buffers along waterways and water systems like that. I guess even though it is in state law right now, there's always a possibility things like that can be repealed, and maybe a way to have those types of conservation efforts work better would be to tie it to crop insurance. I know I have quite a few. I have almost 4 miles of creeks, streams, and a small river, and public and private ditches. And I don't really feel like there's any place along any of them that I should be farming, closer than the 16 feet that's being recommended. And so I guess I feel like that would be a good place to put those types of conservation efforts in if we could do it. Other things that I'd like to see is maybe some incentives to use more strip-till type farming and also cover crops. I know that cover crops are working well in many areas of the country already, and I know there's a lot of research being done on them in the northern parts of the Corn Belt, so to speak. But I guess you know, putting some incentives in there for farmers to try things and experiment with different things, I think would be a good idea. You know, I'd also like to see, you know, maybe some incentives in the crop insurance program for folks that grow more perennials, you know, alfalfa and other types of crops of that nature.
So essentially, a farmer would have to prove that they are incorporating one of those practices to qualify for crop insurance. Am I understanding that correctly?
I don't necessarily know to qualify, but I think if we could put some incentives in there so people would move that direction, maybe there would be you know, a little higher subsidy for someone who uses those types of ideas. We do have something like that kind of with the CSP program. There are small payments to landowners, farmers, if you enroll in the Conservation Stewardship Program. So sometimes that program doesn't work for everybody, but maybe the ideas that we're using there could also be used with the crop insurance program so that we just make better use of taxpayer subsidy dollars by encouraging more conservation and sustainable type farming practices.
Yeah, I mentioned the announcement earlier this week by LSP regarding a report, and I'm curious about the report's analysis of the amount of dollars that go towards crop insurance. As I know you're aware, President Trump's budget has proposed some cuts to the federal crop insurance program. So when you look at how that all breaks down, obviously you and other farmers, regardless of your stance on, you know, tying conservation to crop insurance or putting a cap on it, having a safety net is critical, and all farmers can agree on that. But as far as how those dollars shake out, looking at getting this farm bill passed, in what ways does the report that you guys announced kind of support your argument, I guess?
Well, I think, you know, I think that most of the folks that are looking at farm programs that are from the non-farming segment of our country, I think they, you know, they support the farm bill a lot along the food part of it, as far as, you know, the dollars that go to the food program part. So I think there's got to be cooperation among all different sectors of the country when it comes to this farm bill. And so they've got to give a little bit, we've got to give a little bit, and that's just the way a democracy works.
Darryl, anything else on crop insurance that we have not talked about yet that you think we should?
Well, I guess, you know, one of the problems I have with it as a farmer is I don't like the fact that it's being sort of pegged as a safety net, because it really isn't. Right now, of course, is a glaring example. As the prices go down, the crop insurance coverage, it just keeps getting reduced, and it's, you know, we're not able to pay the bills. That's one of my biggest complaints about it, is that it kind of replaced the farm programs that used to work for farmers. We had a lot of tools in the toolbox years ago in the farm bill that we could use to manage the supply, especially of the major commodities. And by managing the supply of the major commodities, you can try to keep the price more stable and keep it more in a profitable level. And so that's one of my biggest complaints of the crop insurance whole idea, is that it really isn't a safety net, even though sometimes a lot of folks think it is. And so we need to take a whole look at that again. The new farm bill needs to be completely rewritten, as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to have a massive loss of farmers out here and just extreme consolidation of the farm country, and kind of a repeat of the 1980s, I think.
Well, that's interesting, Darryl. What were those tools that have gone away that were more effective as a safety net than crop insurance?
Yeah, of course, the tools that really worked for us was the grain reserve. You know, when prices start to fall like they are the last 4 years, just putting a grain reserve in place would help to buffer that a bit. Also, the set-aside acres. You know, there's not another business on the planet that doesn't manage its inventory to meet its demand. You know, 4 years ago when we started to see some of these surpluses build up in the major commodities, just a slight adjustment of the planted acres would have helped quite a bit. And we would have seen some stability in the price. I just don't think there's any good can come from these huge price fluctuations that we are now seeing. It's putting way more risk into farming than farming already is, and it's just just raising havoc with our rural communities.